Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Citizens Podcast. My name is Gray. I am joined by Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hey, buddy.
This is actually, we are recording within the week of an actual game. Go figure. And I don't mean preseason tour stuff, in which City apparently made some Chinese people mad for not being personable enough. I don't know what that's about. I am not going to try to figure out what that's about.
No.
It's likely cultural misunderstandings, and there's no winners in trying to figure those out. Like, I mean, definitely try and understand what you can do better next time, but you can't argue your way out of that stuff.
Yeah. That's the thing about these tours is that they're not...
No good comes from them.
They're not particularly no good in footballing terms. They're not particularly for the players at all.
No.
Or for preparation at all. They're there to make
money.
Make money and make new fans, which is also making money in a roundabout way.
Which is weird because they send over half-filled products. You know, most of the stars never play. So you see a team that could be largely NYCFC and
I went to Chicago last year to see a preseason friendly. I don't regret it, but by the extent of what I saw was basically Riyad Mahrez and like 5 minutes of Leroy Sané, and then the EDS team. And
yeah,
it's amazing how people will pay a lot of money just to see some people wearing a uniform.
Yep.
If it's not the people that you would normally pay to see, just because it's such a commodity over here that, you know, that this is the only chance we ever get. So we pay money anyway.
And to be real, some of these EDS teams could straight out beat MLS teams.
Oh, I have no doubt. Some of these academies have been loaded for years. They're actually have to play them this year. We have the transfer ban, so that's fun. Anyway, I'm not going to dwell.
By the way, guess who got handed a contract?
Hmm?
I said, and guess who got handed a contract?
Who did that?
Or you were talking about him on the podcast.
I'm not going to guess this.
Well, you said, let's face it, he's not really a Chelsea player, Chelsea-type player, but they're going to have to play him, Mr. Hudson-Odoi.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they did. The thing is, they've been ignoring.
I laughed when I saw that. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Ignoring that entire youth system that has had so much talent for so many years, and they just sell it off for profit. And now, well, guess what? I do have to laugh a bit at Jorginho suddenly being stuck there without his beloved Sarri there to build a team around him.
And
he left Napoli solely to follow him there in the last city year, and who could have predicted that aside from everyone who has watched Chelsea Football Club for the last 50 years?
And let's face it, Jorginho has not been good in the Premier League, so the likelihood that Lampard is going to stick with him continuing forward, he might have just made a really boneheaded move.
I think he did. I also wonder how much of that is down to playing in a team that didn't suit how Sarri wanted to play, and now he's going to be in a team that he won't suit him. Because I think he could be, if he'd gone to City, I think he could have been killing him.
Yeah, which I'm saying this could have positive ramifications, maybe. Like, Chelsea may just decide, look, we're going to get rid of this guy. And Pep could be like, hey, look, Jorginho,
you want a second chance at making your first
choice? Do you want to back up Rodri? You know, like, the last time we came after you, we were going to start you, we were going to have you deputize, and you would have taken over, but you said no. So now, you're going to come in, and you're going to sit on the bench. You will get minutes, and you will grow with this team, but we're not offering you the same bumper package we did when we first tried to get you from Napoli. That deal, you will never see a deal like that again, sir.
Fernandinho might have, I don't know how many years left, but eventually that clock's going to stop ticking. So, oh, I'm going to start this podcast off with a completely unrelated question that is going slightly put you on the spot, but sorry. City are in need of a new club captain, as we know. If it were up to you, whom would you appoint?
David Silva.
I don't think we're in agreement there.
Well, listen, this is David Silva's last year with the team. So I think you do it for that reason. Now, going forward, I think the band – let me give this a minute because I think these are two separate questions. I think something of what you're looking from me is what I may answer for who gets the band going forward. But in the interim, I think I don't think you can – David – unless David doesn't want it, how are you not honoring him as the captain – in his final year, like,
and I don't think he'd turn it down because he's done it before.
No, in fact, I thought they named him captain.
I think what they're doing is they're going to have the players select once they're all together. A lot of guys popped in late because of the confed and all that nonsense.
Well, okay, so
Copa America.
David Silva seems the likeliest to get the band this year for obvious reasons. Now, going forward, who would I slap it on? Okay. I think you could go a couple different ways. I think you can give the band to Raheem Sterling. He is the face. He is the future. You could give the band to Kevin De Bruyne, who has already done so much for the club, but De Bruyne tends to be in. Well, I guess that didn't matter when they gave it to Vinny. Or you could give it to Laporte, who's likely going to be the number one defender. I think that's a long stretch. Laporte hasn't been here and put in the work of those guys. It doesn't seem likely they'd slap it on Ederson, though nobody would care if they did. Like, you're looking at basically captains from each part of the lineup, kind of like you do in football. And I think that, look, I mean, Aguero, who do you give it to?
I would give it to De Bruyne if it were me.
De Bruyne?
I know they have that. I think it's like that five-man player council that sort of the manager uses them to take the temperature of everything, and they are basically the is it Pentagon with? I'm going to embarrass myself here. Is it Pentagon with the five sides? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pentagon of captains. I
see, De Bruyne was on my list, but I think you could give it to Sterling.
I think
that,
yeah.
As a way to be like, look, man, this kid, we told him we wanted to build him up. We told him if he came here, we would take him to the next level. When Pep took over, Pep called him and told him, you know, at the World Cup, listen, don't pay attention to the bullshit. Just like, don't pay attention to it. Don't worry about it. I have your back. You are going to be fine. You are going to succeed. You just go out there and play. Don't worry about the noise because I'm going to start handling that. Raheem went out there and played. Pep went on the offensive, constantly talking about what kind of a class guy Raheem is. Obviously, there were campaigns waged by Manchester City supporters and sensible football fans who saw the media attacks on Raheem Sterling for exactly what they were, biased, racist, just all kinds of ist coverage. You know, why is a black man spending money on a house? Well, he bought it for his mom, fool. Like, I mean,
the thing.
Come on.
Why. I think it was either the Mail or the Sun. They posted that picture of his look at his sink.
And you know what? The media still finds ways to trash this kid even now, even though he paid. And look, he paid for the funeral, the entire funeral of this young man who had completely touched his life. So was it Damari? Raheem, I believe was his name. And Raheem Sterling, he gave that kid a – I mean, look, dude, there's no such thing as a funeral that you want to go to. But listen, Raheem Sterling gave that kid a 5-star send-off. He had an arrangement. I mean, he had the horse and carriage, glass. I mean, he had everything. Raheem Sterling, he didn't just go, all right, I'm going to pay for the funeral. What's your cheapest casket here? No, like he went in there and was like, how are we going to – what would be the best way to celebrate this kid's life? What of these speaks to you, to him? Like help me celebrate him. And he paid for it. And the media still finds ways to trash this kid. And he's risen above it year after year for City. And that is why I could honestly put the band on him.
He's also English, which
yes,
certain people would enjoy.
It means a certain something.
Mm-hmm. I would. Raheem Sterling is basically like the perfect lightning rod for criticism for idiots, for both the reasons you espoused. He's black, and he does things that people feel threatened by, I guess, or don't like to see. And he also had the nerve to leave the holy entity of Liverpool Football Club.
Mm-hmm.
To go to the soulless plastic organization that is Manchester City.
And collect all
and
these trophies.
Every year, domestic trophy on offer, yes. So it's a combination.
It's such a horrible move for him.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. They had Jordan Hyde. It's one of those things where there's almost... If you've already made up your mind about whether you like someone or not, there's plenty to pick from there for you to justify your irrational hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in that sense, it's sadly unsurprising. But it is sad that it's unsurprising. The thing about City's captain is that they have that council. They have leaders throughout the team. It doesn't really matter who's wearing the armband. It's not going to stop anybody from speaking up if they feel that there's something that needs to be said.
All the armband really does is give you the right to talk to the ref in game.
Yeah. And you get to go. You get to walk out first.
Yeah.
Be all fancy like that. So, honestly.
My bad. I forgot about that little honor.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there are a couple choices.
I wonder if you get, like, your first selection of the kid, too. Like, is it like...
Know how the mascots work. I would honestly love it if they lined up like the 11 kids on the field beforehand. They like had like gym class in middle school. It's like, all right, you get to pick first, which kid do you want?
That'd be so awesome.
I would love that.
Oh, the inevitability of being the last kid picked. And then it turns out it's like, my God, that's Aguero's music. You know, you just surprise him with a player who was listed as injured but is actually playing, prank on him.
I guarantee you this is not how it works, but I decided just in this moment that that's how it should work.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally with it, man.
My idea of the day.
We could get – I don't know, man. I think Martin Tyler could do a little bit of JR.
Start televising it. City have that new TV platform. We can start televising the...
Yeah, I want to ask you what you think about that, man.
I have not used it yet.
Reviews aren't good.
I don't know if it works.
Oh, no, it works fine. People aren't starving.
People don't want to pay for this stuff.
No, it's not even that. They don't mind paying for it. They're like, it's just there's nothing offered here. Like the YouTube offers so much more than this. Like, why would you pay for this?
I know that they had because they did their own basically in-house All or Nothing documentaries for the tail end of last season, and I know that that's on there. And they apparently seem to think that that would reel people in. And I do want to watch that, and I do want to see it. I just haven't, my life's been chaos the last month.
Split an account. We'll call it the American Citizens, and we'll just It'll be like
I
a
haven't
buck
had time to think about it. I don't begrudge City for monetizing something like this. I just
no, I don't just begrudge them for monetizing it. They just need to. It's like NBC Gold right now. It's tough to justify it because it's like, what? There are three games? Like, why do I? Right. What?
It's probably not. I'm not sure that, you know, it's probably not the greatest time for launch without much content to offer.
You need to offer stuff.
Yeah, I know we live in a world where, a footballing world, where if it can be monetized, it will be. So right. I just sort of accept things on that baseline. Like, it's just, you know. At a certain point, I sort of half expect that they'll try that the Premier League teams are going to try to find a way to make you pay to follow them on Twitter at this point.
They're going to start offering premium Instagram accounts soon.
Follow us on Twitter, and we'll kick in.
Check out our secret clips page where you can view all the hottest Manchester City action.
PayPal $1 to Manchester City, and we'll send you the link to our exclusive locked Twitter account with exclusive information. I'm not even bashing the club. This is what football is at this point.
It really is, dude.
I don't like it, but I also understand that in a world where, you know,
information is
king. And UEFA is watching your revenues, and the Premier League and the FA are watching your revenues and your salaries and your investments, and the aim of the game is buying the best players. This is an inevitable consequence of that road. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of buying players, I think we have a saga.
Yeah?
A saga that we haven't really addressed on this podcast before, but I think it's come high time to do just that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And if you haven't already guessed what we're talking about, it's Leroy Sané. We are sitting here at the end of July, a transfer window that closes, let's see, a week, day, and 2 days. So that would be 10 days from now, as we sit here, more or less on the dot. And what you have is a player who has been aggressively, I wouldn't even call it flirting at this point. It's basically harassment. from a certain club in Germany that thinks that they own the world. Bayern Munich are the suburban mom of football that takes their frappe to Starbucks, that goes to Starbucks and orders their frappe. And if it's not made exactly the way they want it to, they absolutely have to speak to the manager. And if they don't get a free drink out of this, someone's going to hear about it. That's Bayern Munich. And Bayern Munich seem to think that they have a God-given right to Leroy Sané because he's German and he's young and he's talented, and they just lost, like, all their wingers, despite the fact that Ribery and Robin have been nothing for the last couple of years.
I like it the other way around.
Robbery and Reuben. It's hard to say.
It sounds like a great police procedural something. Robbery and Reuben.
Yeah, it does. but here we are, July 29th. So this transfer saga is doubly annoying for me, not just because of Bayern's conduct, which I really wish someone would just out and tell him to shove it. Like, we're well past the point where someone should have said, you know what? Either bid or don't bid. You can afford it, clearly. You think you can. So, you know, either put up or shut up. So that's the first issue. And that's the first annoyance I have with this. The second annoyance is Sané himself, who has had a month and a half to make up his mind and can't seem to do it. I've read that he's being pulled in different directions by, you know, his advisors and his family, and one part of his family wants him to go, and I think I read that his significant other doesn't want him to go, and his mother, I think, wants him to go back to Germany. It's like, I'm sure it's an overwhelming situation to be put in, and it's not a decision to be taken lightly, but we're 10 days away from the transfer window closing in England. if Sané were to leave, they would have 10 days to bring in a replacement, or they would be selling without a replacement, and that would leave the forward line pretty thin. And frankly, it's come to the point where I think that at least privately the club should be saying, look, buddy, you've got, I believe, 2 years left on your contract. So we're not sitting here risking losing you on a free if we don't offload you right now. Either right. Put in your transfer request. Here's a date. Either put in your transfer request or settle in and sit with us this season because you're staying. Make up right. your damn mind. This has gone on long enough. Most transfer sagas are a result of the player, you know, knowing that's where I want to go, I want the move, and then the two clubs haggle and play, you know, do the whole public thing where it looks like the selling club is trying to make it look like they did everything they could.
And the weird thing here is, like, Leroy Sané is putting City in a crappy position, and City's done nothing but put him in the best position they know.
Very accommodating. I would perhaps say a bit too accommodating.
Agreed.
I suppose they don't, you know, I mean, well, they've tried to negotiate a new contract with him. That has not happened. You know, we've gone through a lot of things with contracts at City over the last couple of years where we've gone on and said, oh, it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good, it doesn't look good. Like, I remember Real Madrid were started to hover around Sterling, and there was, okay, contract negotiations are stalled, contract negotiations are stalled, and then a couple months later, just boom, done, that's it. So you never know how this will go, and I feel like after if Sané stays and the transfer window closes and everything is suddenly reassessed, it's going to be like, well, okay, here I am. Maybe we should discuss this, because that's how these things tend to go. It's like the moment the transfer right. window closes and suddenly you no longer have that move on the table, it's just like, oh, well, all right, now we can talk. So I think I understand why Sané has rebuffed all these offers, because the guy can't make up his mind. He doesn't know what he wants. And committing to signing a new contract would be committing to a long-term decision that he clearly doesn't feel ready to make right now. But he doesn't have to make that decision as long-term, but he needs to make a decision for this season. And I would say that City have been overly accommodating toward him, because at some point they have got to make I mean, I know they have contingency. There's a guy, I think, from Sociedad that's been floating around. I don't even remember the name. I'm not going to pretend to know anything.
Almada.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about him or sit here and pretend to be an expert on this, but clearly they're working on contingency plans. So this is real enough that they think there is a chance that he's going to come to them in the next few days and say, yeah, actually, I want to leave. And the other thing about City is it's hard to remember the last time that they sold a player against their wishes, by which I mean a player that they wanted to keep but forced his way out. It doesn't happen to them that often. So we're already in a somewhat unique position here, because they rebuffed Tevez multiple times when he wanted to leave. It's, no, you're under contract. Sit down and shut up. But he also had more time left on that contract. So my frustration here is twofold. Bayern needs to be given the largest middle finger imaginable by this football club, because frankly, the way they've conducted themselves is rather embarrassing. The public recruitment, I find distasteful. I find it classless from a club that likes to position itself as the epitome of class, the elite, the champagne and caviar crowd at Bayern Munich, and I've had enough of that. And I've, frankly, Bayern are one of those clubs that, you know, there's a lot of elite clubs in the European football sphere, but I don't know that there are any that are so full of themselves and so need to, and it would be so nice to see put in their place as Bayern Munich. I'm not sure how this proceeds, basically. It's getting awful late. It's getting awful late. The normal thinking is, you know, the later it gets in the window, the logical thought would be, well, the less likely it is to leave, because you'd think that if this were going to happen, it would have happened by now. But this one, just it just feels like this is more less about that and more about Leroy Sané cannot make up his mind and he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly be nice. It would certainly be ideal. But I also understand giving a kid time to make. Listen, I think that, look, here's the way I look at it. If Sané ultimately decides he wants to go, I think you look at this and say, okay, we're going to accommodate this, but we're not going to sell you to start the year. You have not left us enough time to get a replacement, but we want to respect your wishes. However, you still owe us 2 years, so you're going to play with us to the winter break while we can scout a replacement. We're going to get a fee off Bayern, and if they're willing to pay the fee, and it is going to be high because of your age and talent and what similar players are going for, then whatever. But you need to understand that we are going to get what we think you are worth. We're not going to sell you for less just because Bayern want you. And I think that is that would be a win for everybody.
Can I break in real quick and just ask you, real quick, what would your valuation of Leroy Sané be?
130.
I could see that, yeah. I mean, you look at what guys are going for in this market, like you said. It's changed from where it was even three.
He's a potential world-class talent. 130.
It's gone back. It's even if you look at 3 or 4 years ago, it's changed.
And he means something to them. So, you know what? I hate to say it, but you have to tack on the German tax. Oh no, I don't hate to say that. That actually came off the tongue a lot easier than I thought it would.
I mean, if we live in a world where Barcelona are going to pay $105 million for Felipe Coutinho.
Yep.
Who was an accomplished player, to be clear. But, you know, he's not. Sané can be better than Coutinho. If you look at Atletico Madrid paying £114 million for João Félix, it's a good comparison, because Félix is a guy who's only scratching the surface of his talent and is already very gifted, but can become even more gifted with time and the right tutelage. That's a guy that netted you 114, and I would say that Sané is already more accomplished than João Félix is.
Yeah.
And that was 114 million minimum, 114 million for Atletico Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's you go down the list, and it's look.
And that's not counting the fact that João meant nothing to Atletico other than replacing their stars. João left the best place he could play for his home origin.
Mm-hmm.
Like him being Portuguese, he doesn't care necessarily about playing for Atletico. but
Atletico,
yeah,
are not the Madrid club that you grow up dreaming of playing for. No disrespect, but they're
no.
Not. Atletico,
unless you club, unless you grow up there,
a good fan. But unless I miss something, I don't think that João Félix was wearing Atletico kits when he was 6 years old.
Usually not. Fans from other parts of the world don't usually pick Atletico as their mm-hmm. as their
especially what with their recent period of success being very recent
and it being Buffalo Bills levels of failure,
and it also being the Diego Simeone style of success, which is not exactly the most easiest on the eye. But I'm using the João Félix fee if I'm selling Sané. That's my baseline.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm taking less than that.
Mm-mm. Nor should you. I honestly think 130, 140.
I mean, you're talking a guy who's been tipped as a possible Ballon d'Or winner. You cannot just give that away. And I think it would be embarrassing for City if they did. This is a club that should have the cards here. They should be holding the cards here.
Yeah, it is a touch frustrating.
They have 2 more years, and I mean, there's no indication that City are going to take a lesser. I don't know where things stand, and you can frankly read 2 different reports on any given day and pick your favorite.
Well, the latest words have Bayern's coach saying he's sure it's going to get done. That.
But I also saw Fabrizio Romano, affiliated with DiMarzio, who's obviously usually pretty reliable on these things, saying he still hasn't made up his mind. The delay is less about like City stalling or Bayern not willing to. It's about the guy not knowing what he wants to do. So that it's very much in flux right now. I don't know what City will do if he decides that he wants out. But if for me, in the seat I'm sitting in, João Félix is the João Félix fee is where negotiations start.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that. And it's like, well, look, guys, if you have been talking all summer, you can afford it. Bayern not a poor club. They can position themselves as, we can't compete with the Premier League money. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
All this talk, I get so tired of like, oh, the finances have gone crazy. And it's like, well, you know, it wasn't us. It was the PSGs of the world and the Barcelonas of the world and the Real Madrids of the world that did far more damage to the transfer market than anybody here did. So
City have one summer where they spent an enormous sum of money, but outside of that, you'd be hard pressed to find like they've been operating like this. And also that enormous sum of money was financed. They sold a portion of the club to finance that summer spending because they knew it was going to be long. They knew it was going to be protracted.
You have to go when he's down. Like City's record transfer now is Rodri. That would be like 5th or 6th on Barcelona's record transfers.
Yeah. What did City end up paying for him?
$63 million.
Okay.
Which is the same price that Atletico Madrid paid for Thomas Lemar last summer, and no one really batted an eye about it. Atletico Madrid, not known as one of like the huge
richer clubs,
powerhouses of Europe. I mean,
so you have to assume because they operate.
Bayern Munich already paid $70 million for Lucas Hernandez this summer. It's a lot of money. Juventus paying $75 million for Gonzalo Higuain 3 years ago, and they already shipped him off.
And who's trying to buy Pogba right now?
Real.
What's the going rate?
More than he cost United, which was $89 million, which again more than City's record by a lot. Chelsea's record transfer is Kepa. Come on.
Man, that's hilarious. You think Pogba's got to think, why did I ever come back to United? And it's like, bitch, you could have gone to City. Mm-hmm. You could have replaced.
I guarantee you would not have looked nearly as ineffectual had he come to City.
No.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys, you know, these guys that like.
But you know what, though? With the way the midfield worked out with De Bruyne.
I'm not sure where he would have fit in the end.
Yeah, because I don't know. You dispatch him as a center defensive midfield.
He's not as influential if you play him there. He has to be a more advanced player, and so you're not hurting for advanced midfield players.
No. And you could argue that the advanced midfield players that City have, like Bernardo and De Bruyne, like
Pogba ahead of either of them.
No.
And it's not that Pogba's a bad player. It's just like those two are so perfect.
And that goes at the world level, too. Pogba may be on the better team, and he may be great on the world stage, but so are those two.
Right.
So is Bernardo, and so is who the hell else did we bring up?
I mean, maybe
De Bruyne,
maybe
yeah.
The solution is that since Pogba went in summer 2016, maybe City ultimately don't buy Bernardo if they buy Pogba, in which case I'm okay with how things worked out. Because Bernardo Silva costs less than half of what Paul Pogba cost.
Yeah.
And I think that if you could go back to that summer and reevaluate those two players, that is the steal of steals from City's perspective.
Yeah.
How do you think the Leroy Sané situation ends this summer? Not long term, but just when we come back here. If we come back here in a week and a half, what story are we talking about?
I feel like City are going to get caught with their pants down on this. I don't know why. Like, I feel like they're going to feel pressured in, and like maybe Bayern can quiet some of the FFP. No, I don't know. Man, listen, dude, I here's what I hope happens. If he decides he wants to go, he's going to have to, like, I hope City say, well, we're not going to do anything until the winter transfer window. Like, that's when we'll sell. We have not been given enough time, and he's contributed too much for us to just be like, oh, okay, we'll worry about his replacement later. Like, he's too valuable. We can't do that. So you're going to have to give us proper time to scout this out, and you're going to have to meet our hefty evaluation. Because, like, here's the thing, dude. How is Bayern going to get the deal done if City if he hasn't even made up his mind? If he hasn't even made up his mind, then – you know, Bayern and City haven't haggled over a price at all. Like why are they going to do work that they don't need to do? Lawyers are going to, you know, billing lawyers for work that you don't need done. Like, if and when he makes up his mind, the two clubs get together, especially if it's from City's perspective, you're not super anxious to take those meetings. Like, why do you want to meet and set up a price and quickly get it done? It does you no good. Like, it works to your disadvantage. You don't want those meetings. You keep saying, when he makes up his mind, we'll start talking numbers. Until then, this is all just speculation.
That's exactly it.
He's under contract here, and we're going to operate like he's going to be here.
And if Bayern knew he wanted to come, they would not have to still be doing this. They would not still be mouthing off in the press every second they get, every chance they get. Oh, yeah, we love him. He'd be perfect. If Bayern thought that they had him, that would not be necessary. Simple as that.
Probably true.
So where things stand right now, frankly, is like City.
It's anybody's guess, really.
It's anybody's guess. I mean, you try to get in the head of a mercurial 23-year-old who's being faced with the decision of his life, and you make a good point that, frankly, he has the right to think about this. But it's very much like the longer this goes on, It's not like he hasn't, you know. There's two schools of thought here. It's like the longer this goes on, the longer City can't shut it down, and the longer the door stays open, and it makes you more and more nervous, which is a personally perfectly reasonable take.
But there's no Spanish activation of trigger clauses here.
The longer this goes on is another day that Leroy Sané has said, no, I'm not yet. Not ready to move yet. And eventually, he's going to run out of days to decide on whether he wants that move. And
they're coming very quickly.
They are.
They're in the single digits.
None of this is coming as a surprise. You know what this reminds me of in a certain way? It reminds me of the Alexis Sanchez saga last summer, except for the fact that Sanchez made perfectly clear from day one that he wanted to go. But in terms of how the clubs are dealing with this, it reminds me of that, which is Arsenal, where just spent the entire summer like, you know, as of two summers ago, excuse me. Arsenal spent the entire summer just like,
why bother?
With even less leverage than City have right now, because he was in the last year of his contract. But Arsenal was very relaxed, you know, it's like, well, we have a valuation, blah, blah, blah. And they left it to the last 2 days of the window. And remember what happened? Wires got crossed. City got screwed, arguably, if you believe what some said about that whole situation. Arsenal couldn't find a replacement. City ended up fuming. Arsenal looked bad. And so here we are again. And it's like, look, I think that City at the bare minimum are better run than Arsenal. I don't know about Bayern, but they at least seem to be more streamlined.
Well, let's not forget that the man running Bayern went to prison.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Like, I mean, I feel like that needs to be said. Mm-hmm. He went to prison. Although, detractors would argue you can't put the Monsieur in prison because he's part of the royal family. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's true. Yeah. You can't.
So...
Unless he does something they don't like, and then you find out how quickly they'll throw him in prison.
Right. So honestly, you know, my assessment is the later in the window this goes, the harder it's going to be to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
From Byron's perspective. Just because of the number of moving parts. Like, this is not, like you said, you pointed out very adeptly, this is not a release clause situation. It's not like, you know, how City could go in for Laporte
right.
and Rodri, and they're like, okay, we don't even have to negotiate. Great, here's the money. Sign with us.
Right.
That's not going to happen here. There has to be a negotiation process. And if City operate like I hope they will, that's not going to be an easy negotiation for Bayern Munich. And it won't happen overnight. And we're quickly coming to a point where it would have to happen overnight. So, I don't know. Just sheer logistics seem to indicate to me that every passing day where nothing happens here is a good thing for City.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
So yeah.
What do you think happens?
I ultimately think that there's a lot of noise and a lot of smoke, but no fire, and he ultimately ends up staying. And, you know, some people, there will be the whole excuse making thing, like, you know, oh, the club wouldn't negotiate, or like, because Sané's in this position where, like, I'm sure that having to turn down Bayern for a German kid is not going to really endear himself to a lot of people in Germany. It's not like Bayern are popular in Germany outside of Bavaria. So he's in a tough spot, but I think that this whole thing passes. And ultimately, I think there will be bad tastes in some mouths, but ultimately City get what they want, which is Sané stays. And then after the deadline passes, they'll wait a few weeks and then come back. So about that contract. That's just,
no.
I don't know, but I just think that we're running out of time for this to happen. And City shouldn't make this easy on Bayern Munich. That's where I'm at. I don't know.
No, I don't think they should either. Like,
like we said, it's anyone's guess. Since
you know what, dude, if he wants to play in Germany, they should sell him to Red Bull. Like, they should sell him to Red Bull or Dortmund and be like,
right?
Well, with Red Bull, I think he'd make him. Could you imagine he and Yusuf Poulsen?
Mm. He'd immediately become a flagship player for that club, and that's a club that wants to become a flagship club. So,
yeah. It'd be fun to watch him on Red Bull.
But yeah, like I said, we're trying to guess the mindset of a 23-year-old who doesn't seem to know what he wants, and seems to have two different people, a bunch of different people telling him different things. So I'm not going to attempt to go any further into that. Let's talk briefly about the Community Shield, which is this weekend already. This summer, I don't know. It seems to have gone by very fast.
Doesn't it?
Maybe it's just me, but it just seems like yesterday was the Brighton game, and all of a sudden we're talking about the Community Shield.
Kind of excited for it.
Excited. The nice thing is this is a Liverpool-Man City game that, in theory, isn't fundamentally meaningful. Mm. I always want to beat Liverpool and just sort of lay down like, oh, you're still second best. So I think ultimately the effect of this game will be psychological more than anything else. And what's more, I do expect that City will be missing players. They've had a lot of late arrivals.
We'll also find out just how much Liverpool value the Community Shield when it's them who's lifting it.
Of course. Liverpool haven't done much this summer, have they?
They're trying.
They're trying, but it hasn't happened yet. And of course, City haven't ultimately brought in the defender that they want.
I'm really surprised that Real or Barca haven't gone after Salah.
Yeah. Boy, Liverpool have actually done nothing this summer.
Like, I am really surprised that Barca haven't gone after Salah or Dembele. Like, I get that Barcelona are probably getting back Neymar.
What a disaster that whole thing is.
Yeah, but I think Neymar is now going to be as humbled as he's ever going to be. Like, nobody's going to want him beyond this if he tries to force his way out of Barca again. Like,
Barca are the only club who really seem to want him now.
Because they know that with him there, they become just an unstoppable trident.
Oh, yeah. But ultimately, at the same time, it's like, how long ago was it that Neymar was the future? And now we're left with his reputation is not good.
No, it's not.
Barca are the only team that seemed to be willing to put up the money to get him. And everybody else is just like, not worth the trouble. He's expensive. He's controversial. He has off-field issues, to say the least, right now.
I honestly think Barcelona is the best place for him.
I don't trust anything to come of that.
I think Barcelona is the best place for him. Like, listen, you know what's going to go on there. Valverde's going to make the team a little bit more practical, even still with him in it. But, you know, I think that Barca also recognized, look, they should have beaten Liverpool last year. Like, they should have lifted the cup. Right. There is no reason. Barca had the lead, and they choked it away.
And that was a choke.
Oh, it was a choke.
It was a choke of chokes.
And if they had Neymar, they could continue to apply the pressure. It changes the dynamic rather than when you – because I think in reality, Liverpool had the better front three that game. But you put Neymar back on that club, and a lot of dynamics change for Liverpool.
Messi, Neymar, Griezmann is threatening. Suarez is getting old.
Yeah.
And Dembele doesn't seem to be nailing down a first-team place like they hoped he would.
No.
There's a lot of inconsistency there still. He's still very
Neymar young. Comes back in, he's a starter.
Neymar, yeah, absolutely. So, I don't.
So it'd probably be Griezmann, Messi, and Neymar with Suarez peppered in.
They're not dumping Griezmann either immediately after that huge investment and how they've wanted him for years.
No.
So.
No, they're not. They're gonna probably have Suarez back up Griezmann, and Messi will obviously continue to play, and Neymar will do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just create a new MSN, except it'll be Nom? Neymar, Antoine, Messi. Nom.
That'll be way funnier to the Americans than it will be to us.
Nom. You're getting hit with Nom, baby.
Every team that faces them will face a 90-minute tour of duty in Nom.
Hell yeah, man. The napalm attack.
While Fortunate Son plays in the background.
It would be great. Great. Now, they'll come up with some stupid, like, some... NGM doesn't quite work.
No. Because that just makes you think it should be MGM.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
No. He could change his name to Maymar.
Maymar.
Just, you guys got Neymar? No, better, Neymar. Wait, that's what I just said. No, you said Neymar, like Ney from a horse. I said Maymar, like Aunt May from Spider-Man. Oh. I feel like that's a – who was that in Major League 2 when they traded for –
I know what you mean.
For Tanaka? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking that they traded for someone all special? No. No, not that guy. The other one.
There was an NBA trade last year that fell apart because one team thought they were trading for someone and the team they were trading with was like, no, you're not.
Like, why would you have said that? Be like, we didn't know. We changed the names. We have no duty to inform them. We just thought they were a bunch of misspellings.
Right.
But
we did get a quick late question from my baseball colleague, GrapeJuice13, who asked us our thoughts on how City have dealt with the last Sarsfield and Almada after the last fiasco with the club. The last fiasco with the club, I believe, was the signing of Benjamin Garay that has now gotten them under investigation for...
I thought they were cleared
illegal
for in the bench.
I'm not sure.
I thought they were cleared. I think the other team is appealing, but I think City was cleared.
And it's the tapping up of the young English youngsters that they're still being investigated.
Yeah.
You're correct.
But they were cleared from Garay.
You're right. But they've been a lot more on the level this time. And I guarantee you that this is – City, I think, are very tired of all these allegations that are being thrown to them, baseless or not. And they're just like, okay, how much clearer can we be that, we are negotiating in good faith. I forget who they're negotiating for. I believe it's Thiago Almada. And they're trying to sign him from over there. So Velas have Thiago Almada. That's right. I think Almada's a better prospect than Garay was, so I think it was always going to be a more traditional negotiation. But it's very much a situation where City, I think, do want to do things on the level here. They don't want – they're tired of this nonsense. They're tired of these allegations. They're tired of, you know, being accused of all these, you know,
right, this crap,
improprieties. So it's just, I think that I don't know if it's going to get done or not, but I just think, you know, I'm all for City doing anything that they can do to just sort of like be like, look, you can't accuse us of anything here,
right.
Because clearly we know that there's a lot of other clubs that are out to get them, that would just love for something to happen here that brings them consequences.
I mean, they're kind of hoping for it in mm-hmm. reality. Like, it's like one of those situations where it doesn't really matter what you do. If anybody can, they're going to attach your name to something insidious to make it work for them, because business is brutal and this is business at the highest level. I mean, this is as close as it probably gets to like oil money, I would assume. Like, I don't know. I guess outside of dealing in arms, which comes with so many different risks, like, okay, yeah, you could deal in arms, but then you spend most of your life on the run and paranoid like a son of a bitch. You can run a football team and come out and wave to people, you know? Like, oh, God, just the risk reward for running a club like this and making billions seems to be so much more worth it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, so, and on top of that, you can, like, create all these crazy deals that work for you, and yeah, man, there's all kinds of enjoyment in being a sports owner. I don't know, but yeah, I'm with you on the Sané saga. I'm with you on Bayern. I'm
very,
with you on
very harmonious podcast today, despite our passion and somewhat frustration on certain issues.
I don't really know what's going to go on with Almada either. No. Like I just assume City are going to try and be
there have been a lot of names bandied about this summer that just nothing has really come of it, like more than usual.
Right.
I don't know. Well,
didn't we get questions?
Did we get questions from other sources?
I thought we maybe.
Let me look. Because I neglected to do so. Where the heck is that? There it is. There were a lot of comments on the Sané situation.
Yeah, when should we go in on Pepe as a replacement?
Yeah, I think Arsenal seem to have that one pretty well wrapped up. And frankly, with the time that Sané is taking to decide, by the time that if something happens, it'll probably be done and dusted by that point. Someone suggests there's a gentleman's agreement Bayern make the FFP clouds go away with this transfer. Even if they did, I think there are enough other clubs to keep that drumbeat going to make.
Yeah,
that
I don't like. I don't think Bayern like even with Bild, like yeah, like Bayern to what degree do they have any control over Bild?
They're influential, but I don't think they're that influential.
Yeah, it's usually the press that has the influence, especially in a free country, man. Like
someone said, bring me Dybala and I'll be happy. That would be interesting, but that guy has never been as consistent as he needs to be.
No.
I've always been a huge fan.
Nor do I think he's as versatile.
No, he's not really a winger either. I've always been a huge fan of Dybala, but he's also not he's not the same position, and he's run into the same issues where he just isn't quite what.
Like, I would be happy with somebody like Dembele.
I would be okay with that.
I mean,
I also don't know how that ends.
Yeah. It all ends weird, dude. Let's just hope that Sané stays, and then what we end up with.
That would be my preference, yeah.
End up with a German who's really good.
Yeah.
I think the problem is like, there's no other Germans on the club fort with him.
Yeah. I mean, Gundogan. But I don't know where his contract situation stands either.
They keep going
from like maybe we can get something done. He's clearly not leaving this summer, so maybe they will in the end.
Yeah, but didn't Gundogan sign like a 5-year deal?
I think he's ending the last year of his contract.
Yeah. He's probably just gonna run it down, like. Which is fine.
Between like optimism and lack of optimism and optimism and lack of eye, so that's another thing that I don't know.
I don't really know that Gundogan excites me much. I mean, I like him. He can do a job.
He was so valuable at the end of last season when Fernandinho was hurt. But they've also brought in Rodri. I would prefer to keep him, but
Rodri solves a lot of those solutions.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens after the Community Shield, because after that, like, that's when we'll see movement. Like, if Sané isn't in the lineup or is pulled or something or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think City plan to play him.
Oh, absolutely. I think City are going to treat this as if, like, well, you have a bid on him, so he's ours.
He played in the preseason plenty, right?
In the preseason, yep.
Yep. So, I mean, the precedent's already there. I can't imagine. So, yeah, I think he does end up at Bayern probably ultimately, because there's probably going to be a lot more goes than stays, but I don't necessarily know if he leaves this summer. I think it's just I don't think Sané would want to screw City like that. They've never done anything but help him.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is that this isn't like, there's no acrimony between the club and the player, as far as we know. I mean, Pep's gotten into him from time to time, but that's just simple coaching. If he thinks it's too harsh, he thinks it's too harsh, but there's no...
If he thinks it's too harsh,
then he should probably be packing his bags and begging and sending a transfer request, but...
Yeah, and beyond that, if he does, like, and City are accommodating him, like, they're doing, like, hey, look, you came here, you won a bunch of stuff, you decided that this wasn't for you, and we're trying to make it happen. Like, again, City aren't doing anything, like, negative here, so that's why I'm like, look, if you don't have time to find a replacement, and I'm not sure this kid that they have lined up as his potential replacement, like... I'm not sure about that. Like, I think you need somebody a little bit more established. I'm not saying go after somebody like Mahrez, but, you know, get your Leons, get your Dembeles, get your, you know, Pepe, so on and so forth. You know, you need to get these players.
Right, exactly.
I'm not entirely sure that, what's the kid's name? That they have lined up to replace.
I'm just kind of not giving it a lot of thought until something actually happens. Because it doesn't... Mikel Oyarzabal?
Yeah. Oyarzabal?
Oyarzabal? I'll figure it out if he signs.
Manchester City were reportedly willing to pay his release clause.
I'm sure he's a talented player. I have no doubt. But I don't know if he's Leroy Sané talented. Anyway.
He seems to have a hefty release clause, too. Netting 14 goals and 4 assists last year. Nothing done yet.
Anyway, nothing's going to happen until Sonny makes the decision, so every word of this
is... Yeah. Termination clause is 75 million euros. So...
Whatever. Not my money.
Yeah, really not my money either. And it looks like Joao Cancelo is saying he's worried he's going to have to stay where he's at.
I'm so tired of hearing that name.
I hear you.
I don't even... I'm going to have a... All right. you can follow us on Twitter at America Citizens. You can search for us on iTunes to find other podcasts from us. Just search America Citizens. We are brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. And that's about it. So thanks for joining us. We will be, I'm sure, back after the Community Shield and to figure out whatever happens with this saga once it's over. So, thanks for listening. For Josh, I'm Gray. Have a great weekend, everybody, and enjoy the game.
Peace.